Some 35 years ago in 1982, six congregations in the western part of the United States came together and collectively opened their doors, parsonages, schools, and even personal homes to the growing number of Central American refugees fleeing persecution in their home countries. These houses of worship, five here in Berkeley and one in Tucson, responded to the wars in Central America and the refugees these wars had created in a way the U.S. government statedly would not. And in blatant defiance of U.S. immigration law, these ministers, priests, rabbis, imams, parishioners, and lay leaders, many members of friends and of this congregation, did the one thing that the then administration refused to do. They welcomed these refugees, these people, by providing them asylum and sanctuary. This was the beginning of the sanctuary movement of the 1980s. This movement that began as six congregations eventually grew to over 500, a movement that grew beyond places of faith and to the secular realm, a movement adopted by municipalities and universities, a movement begat from a purpose, a commandment, a calling, a responsibility to care and tend to crisis. A movement born from the basic need to connect and be safe, to be cared for. A movement that continues to this day. Here we are at the beginning of another church year, and in this we know what we face. We know that we cannot escape our present reality. We know that everything we have worked for through our physical, emotional, and intellectual labor is being attacked and challenged. And not only in an abstract or ideological sense, but in ways that are concrete, physical, felt, and lived. And we can wax philosophical all day long as to what should be done, what ought to happen. And surely there are many reasonable and logical answers to some of the issues that we are facing. But beyond right and wrong, in that space between, what is known for sure is that we need each other. And within that need for one another is born the responsibility to care. And surface level caring works, especially in the moment. A hug, a kind word, a smile, condolences, congratulations. These small yet mighty acts of kindness can put a pep in your step and turn your frown upside down. And we all appreciate that and need that from time to time. And then there's that deep caring, that below the surface, core of your heart, unconditional type of caring, that kind of caring that gets into your bones, that kind of caring that shows you that you are not alone and that somebody has your back, that caring that comes from the soul, born from the divine. That kind of caring that calls us into community. And it has to be that serious and that strong, because being in community ain't easy. One of the most challenging aspects of being alive in this world is being alive in this world with the other people who occupy it. These other people who occupy it with their needs and their desires and their modes of communication and their own ideas around what is right and what is wrong. And it gets exhausting and tiring to constantly compromise, to be disappointed, to not always get your needs met. And it hurts. It hurts to have a broken heart, a failed chance at connection, unmet desires, empty places where love should be. But here we are. We don't have to be, but here we are. And why? Because through the pain, through the complications, and through it all, we know that we need each other. And we've never needed one another more than we need one another now. In my ministerial formation, one of my favorite questions to ask is, why do we come to church? Especially you use in our plurality, in our multiplicity of path, which can and often does include what some would think of as conflicting beliefs. So why are we here together when we could be literally anywhere else doing anything else? Why do we congregate? Why do we gather? Christian theologian Rebecca Parker writes, "Within the embrace of sacred gathering places, people come together to form connections with one another and with that which is holy and life-giving. A religious community's encompassing walls, real or metaphorical, can be portable. Whatever the character of a community's structure, they function to support the survival and the thriving of a people." Note the word survival. Struggle is inherent in the word survival. Sanctuary, connection, and care, these are not simple undertakings because they do not serve a simple purpose. And they are as necessary as they are complex. Chattel slavery in the United States, it provides us with one of the most unjust, inhumane, and evil institutions this side of eternity. And in the midst of the suffering and the separation of the enslaved peoples, they found a way to connect. The Hush Harbor, as it is now known, provided community for the enslaved peoples, a place in seclusion from their deadly world, a place to create and blend and repurpose the religion forced upon them to something of their own, their house of worship. They may not have owned their bodies, but they owned their hearts, minds, their souls. Nobody could take that from them. The Hush Harbor is the birthplace of the American Negro spiritual, a worldwide phenomenon and tradition that continues to this very day. And it was born from this need to care and to connect no matter what. That connection was their salvation, their response to evil, their sanctuary. So when I ask, why do we come to church, I am asking that in a serious manner. Why are we here? And more importantly, what are we going to do to keep being here? What are we willing to sacrifice for this sacred union? What are we willing to learn and unlearn and relearn again as needed? What are we willing to expose, to let go of, to repurpose, to reimagine? And when we come together to congregate in this place of purpose, we are assuming that responsibility. And that's the good news, that we can. We are able to provide and create this saving space for one another. The work is here, and we are here, and there's nothing stopping us from caring for ourselves, for one another, and for our wider community. In this particular congregation, you have a history of bold and courageous movement. Many current members are aware and have been around for the process this church underwent to become a welcoming congregation. Many of you can attest to the fact that that was work. It didn't happen overnight, and it's not finished now. There's still more to be done to truly be a welcoming congregation, but we know we can do it because we're here to do it. For better or for worse, this is the time in which we are living, and what a time to be alive. The challenges of the world that we face, they are not new. They are unique, but they're not new. And with this knowledge, we turn to the past for guidance and for wisdom. Our elders, our ancestors, our bold traditions, but we cannot stay in the past. We build on the past to move forward. We also prepare for the future. Perhaps it's that beloved community that we long for, but either way, neither the past nor the future means much without our immediate attention and presence with the here and now. The world that we inhabit now, the communities that we are in now, our relationships and our connections, our homes, our relationships with ourselves, our connection to that divine, life-giving source that dwells in and among us now. Sanctuary is not a fixed point or even a place or location. Sanctuary is an action. A living, breathing action. We can manifest sanctuary into our lives, our hearts, and the wider world every time we engage in difficult conversations or in conflict. Each time we move into discomfort in love and care for one another, we are co-creating sanctuary. With every caring card and thoughtful note or potluck or board meeting, when we tend to the business of this congregation, or when we create a safe space for children to explore their faith, we are creating sanctuary. When we sing together, when we witness and participate in the joys and sorrows of one another's lives, and every time we come through these doors, with our full, authentic, vulnerable, sometimes broken, sometimes hurting selves, we are creating sanctuary. When we care for ourselves by tending to our personal needs, through our connection to our divine source, through our practices and our work, through the ways we show up for our own self, we are inviting the power of sanctuary into our hearts and our lives. We cannot only care for one another because it feels good or because it's easy. Often in deep relationship, neither occurs all the time. We care for one another because we have to. Because if we wait for personal perfection or the absence of blessed conflict, we will be waiting forever. No one creates the beloved community in isolation. Our need for connection is primal and holy, and therefore is tantamount to our need to give and receive care. Care as the primary act of community. Care as the primary act of justice. Care as vital to sanctuary. Care as central to love. So, what are the acts of sanctuary in our individual lives? How do we prepare a space for our spirit? Our weary bodies, our families, our networks, our communities, our shared global village. How do we invite sanctuary into our lives? How can we open ourselves to the work that it takes to sustain community? And what a blessing. What a blessing to be held in the spirit of life-giving opportunities for connection and for healing. What a blessing to share in our joys and in our pain. How sacred, how holy to be in communion with one another in these uncertain times. May we guide one another as we seek sanctuary. May we work with one another to ensure that sanctuary is forever present. May it be so. Ashe.